Let's bring in Stu Jackson, NBA analyst with NBA TV. He's also senior associate commissioner of men's basketball for the Big East Conference. Stu, thanks so much for joining us. It's, you know, one of the backgrounds or one of the backdrops to the trade deadline was people were going to use it to try to figure out what exactly LeBron James plans on doing next year, in addition to, you know, obviously teams preparing themselves for the stretch drive. I'll ask you this. Given what Cleveland has done, and I think we agree they're probably a better team now than they were before the deadline, but do we have any idea, do we have any further hint as to what LeBron James may be thinking when it comes to next season as a result of what was done yesterday?
You know, the answer to that is a no. Okay. I mean, at this point, you know, certainly you can, you know, surmise that where there's smoke, there's fire. We don't know if, in fact, he's going to stay in Cleveland. We don't know who or what franchise or team he would target if, in fact, he left. But there's been the rumor out there that the possibility exists. And any time that you have those types of rumors out there, I always feel the teams in the NBA, the franchises in the NBA, and their own networks, they know something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what I think they know is that there's a high possibility that he leaves, evidenced by the fact that teams are now trying to clear cap space for this summer in an effort to offer him a maximum level contract.
And I guess if you're the Cavaliers, if that in effect does happen, one of the things you have accomplished or you accomplished yesterday was you at least gave yourself the framework for life after LeBron. It may not be perfect, but there's kind of a way forward there, isn't there?
You know, absolutely, and you bring up a great point because I thought the transactions that Cleveland was in yesterday really did cover both bases. It improved their team, as you know. It gave them a little bit better perimeter shooting than they had with their former team. But three of the four players they acquired are really young, talented players that you could build on for the future if, in fact, LeBron leaves. When you talk about a Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. and Rodney Hood. I mean, those are three quality young players that, should LeBron leave, at least you have some basis to build for the future, albeit you probably have given up your championship level status. You've given yourself an opportunity to build for down the road.
Has Isaiah Thomas cost himself a lot of money here as a result of what happened this year, or... You know, I mean, that just seems to be kind of a handy narrative. And you know, the point of fact is people will look at him and they'll be looking at a guy last year or the guy the year before as much, if not more, than what we saw this year. And who knows? Maybe he takes the next, he's relatively unburdened now for the rest of the season. Maybe he goes off and has a great finishing kick and that plays up his value again. But do you think his value is depressed right now compared to what it was a year ago?
I don't think there's any question that he's compromised himself, really on two fronts, and one, you know, to no fault of his own. I mean, the injury that he suffered in Boston prior to going to Cleveland, the hip injury, I'm being told that is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And in watching him play this season, it's very evident to me, you know, that he's not completely back in terms of having the type of explosiveness and having the ability to extend at the rim the way that he did as a very small guard before in Boston. So he's still undergoing that rehab process. Now, you couple that with the fact that, whether true or not, when he joined the Cleveland Cavaliers, he appeared to be a little bit of a disruptor.
Right.
In terms of the team's chemistry and, in the locker room, whether it's true or not, it just appeared that way. So he has two strikes against him as he goes to L.A. And now, you know, at least the early indications in joining the Lakers is that they're planning to, in fact, bring him off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're coming off the bench, you're not going to have those same type of productive numbers, to amass a case for yourself to get those maximum level contracts that, you know, at least previously he's wanted.
Are you surprised the Celtics didn't do anything?
Well, not especially. And Danny Ainge we trust.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and question, whether or not they did anything around the trade deadline was good or bad. Right now they're sitting atop the Eastern Conference. Raptors are, nipping on their heels, but, and they've got a good, young, talented base of players. They have a legitimate superstar in Kyrie Irving. They're a unit that has been together, who has depth and can play different types of styles of basketball. So they're sitting in a good place, particularly in light of the fact, why do they need to do something? They have a legitimate shot of winning the Eastern Conference, particularly in light of the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers have compromised themselves with the changeover, and now it's wide open. And, you have to look at the Eastern Conference and earmark the Celtics and the Raptors as the favorites.
Yeah, and I look at, my first reaction yesterday when the deadline passed and nothing was done, and, we just saw the Celtics in Toronto. I began to wonder if maybe the Celtics don't know something about, about Gordon Hayward that we don't know, that maybe he's going to be back a little sooner than that or whatever. And then Danny Ainge may have just decided that, if I get him back, I'm already going to be trying to figure out how to get court time for the two kids who've played well. I'll just hold my powder. And in the meantime, I'll add Greg Monroe and, Greg Monroe is going to beat up some guys in the East. It's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, but the thing that gets lost about Greg Monroe, yes, he's a physical guy. He'll rebound. He'll do some of the dirty things. Greg Monroe is a very good passer.
Okay.
So when you're talking about five-man movement basketball that Boston employs, he's going to be a real asset just in terms of facilitating plays and helping the offense run smoother. He's a very good high post player. And I think, it fits very well, with their type of players that they have and in terms of their scheme, and he's good in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. So as you look at the moves that were made at this deadline, other than Cleveland, is there anything you think, anything that's been altered here?
In terms of, the standings, no. I'll tell you what, though. The one thing that, we've noticed here with the Detroit Blake Griffith trade is that it probably gives Detroit a fighting chance to make the playoffs. I mean, as I look at them in their last five games and their offense has been drastically improved just because the ball movement and the player movement has been helped essentially by one guy. And that's Blake Griffin, who's a superstar level player, very good passer, and seems to be fitting in with that team early on.
The Raptors made a minor move. They got Malachi Richardson for Bruno Caboclo, finally moving away from Bruno. At the time when he was drafted, I think a lot of people thought it was a bit of a reach, and a lot of people thought it was a major reach, but you've been in that position as a GM. How hard is it to move off a guy that you had faith in, that you knew when you made that move, people were going to look at you and kind of raise their eyebrows, but you got faith in what your people are telling you and you got faith in yourself. How hard is it for a GM to move off that?
Well, it depends, at what point you are in the growth of your franchise. I mean, if you're Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, personal emotions aside, you have to, this GM business, it's tough business, and there's not one of them out there that doesn't make, their share of mistakes. I mean, the good ones certainly have more wins than they do losses. And in the case of Toronto, certainly that's been the case. I mean, they've built an excellent franchise. They have a great talent base. But, when you're in that position and you have a guy that's not developing the way that you want, you got to say to yourself, look, okay, maybe I made a mistake, or maybe this particular player needs a change of scenery, and, we need to try something different. And so you make an exchange with the club. I don't think it's a big deal.